looking at it. Return of the Old King, man.
Oh, wow. Emotional.
King of the Hill is back.
They got a Bob's in the airport now. Oh, that's Boba.
World has changed, Dad.
Bobby wants to bring that new girl over for dinner.
The Vegas?
What the hell am I supposed to feed her?
Can't we just put some grass in a bowl?
From Mike Judge and Greg Daniels.
Ready to make some memories, Dad?
Let's freaking go.
A Hulu original series, King of the Hill. Season premiere August 4th. Streaming on Hulu.
Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. That's why a State Farm agent is there to help you choose a coverage option that's right for you. Whether you're getting a new house, car, boat, or RV, helping protect it is important. And State Farm is there to help you choose the coverage you need, whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app. And with so many coverage options, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs, so you can continue to focus on what's most important to you. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete, here's Dave.
Hi, hi. How are we?
Yeah, I'm good actually. I managed to get Lady Gaga tickets today, so that's exciting.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be an absolute bloodbath trying to get... Well, to be fair, it was, and I had to rely on a friend getting them for me. But, yeah, that's exciting. The London venue known as the O2.
Oh, the Millennium Dome?
Yeah, the Millennium Dome.
Great. Love a gig at the Millennium Dome. Imagine she's doing it inside the giant skeleton head, however it was. Remember that?
Giant skeleton head?
Do you remember the giant exhibition in the Millennium Dome before it became the O2?
Yes, but I don't think I ever went.
No, I don't think. I mean, I went once and I don't think I can really remember. It's like loads of organs. You're like inside a body, do you remember?
Right.
Hence, yeah.
Sounds a bit like a Gaga show, to be fair.
Do you know what I'm going to get some tickets for? Do you know where my parents live? Have I told you about this before?
Barbican?
No, they used to live down in London, but they're now up north near a little tiny sleepy town called Lytham St Annes. Do you know?
No.
It's on the coast, sort of like 50 minutes south of Blackpool. And I'm not joking when I say it's like small and full of old people, but they have this festival now that has sort of grown over the last few years. And from like, you know, they'd have like a little Britpop band from the 90s come and headline it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then it's just got a bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And without really knowing how sleepy and small this town is, it's going to be hard for you to really imagine how insane this lineup is for the Lytham Festival this year. But do you know who's opening the Lytham Festival?
Go on.
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I did actually see that he was doing a festival I hadn't heard of.
Yeah. It's literally on the front in my parents' like small town, supported by Manic Street Preachers and Jake Bugg.
Stevie Wonder.
No, sorry. Stevie Wonder is... That's I've misread that. That's the first day... Stevie's on the second day. First day's headlined by Kings of Leon.
Wow.
Then Alanis Morissette. My personal favourite, imagining this man walking around what is basically a retirement village, Justin Timberlake.
Wow. I mean, that festival's got hold of some money from somewhere, hasn't it?
Right? Absolutely.
Who's bankrolling that?
I don't know. It's absolutely wild. So
I've seen Stevie Wonder before. He's a proper bucket list artist too.
I've never seen him live, I don't think. In my head, maybe I have, but I'd like to go. I'd like to go and see that, really.
Well, there you go.
That's what I'm planning on doing, Pete. Obviously, I've done nothing about it, but I will.
You're pretty big in Lytham, though, so you'll...
Well, I think I've arrogantly approached this, frankly, by not like buying tickets when they were released and just assuming I'd happen upon some.
Yeah.
Because that does often quite happen. So anyway, let's find out. Anyway, moving on. Should we talk about Friends?
Yes, okay.
Okie dokie. Here's a request from Ali and baby Eli.
Oh, a baby listener.
Ali says, hey, Fwiff Dads. Love, love, love the podcast. Oh, Ali. Long-time listener, first-time requester. Normally, I listen to the pod when I'm working from home. But more recently, you've been the soundtrack to my pregnancy and maternity leave. I often have you playing in my
car. Why not
car.
The conception?
Can we confirm? Just for our records.
Start to finish, all the way through.
Oh. Well, how long is an episode? Our episode's about 40 minutes, mate. That's quite impressive, start to finish.
Yeah. No, I meant... I mean, of the child's life. Anyway, continue.
I often have you playing in the car while I'm driving around to get my son to sleep to keep me company. I'd like to request the one after Joey and Rachel kiss. It's going to be controversial, this, but I don't hate the Joey and Rachel plotline. Now, this might be strongly influenced by my dislike of Ross, brackets, but I do love David Schwimmer. But I think Joey is a good person and treats Rachel so well. I'd love to have seen them contribute their relationship. Continue their relationship, I think that's supposed to be, as I feel like they suit each other well. Continue. Just as Ross and Charlie fit well together. I also love Phoebe and Mike's reunion. Mike's terrible dirty talk on the plane, that's so funny. And then subsequently remembering he has a girlfriend back home. I think Mike is the star of this episode, actually, isn't
he? It's best bits are Mike-related, I think.
Yeah, or Mike just being great. And then the classic random third plot of Monica getting braid rounds out of the episode. This isn't one of my all-time favourite eps, but it does have lines that I quote regularly. Ross's major shampoo explosion. Oh, it's all over everything. And Phoebe's, damn it, woman, pull yourself together. Have some pride, for the love of God.
That is one of my favourite Phoebe lines.
There's definitely quite a lot of lines in this, actually. I thought that as we went through.
Do you know what else is in this episode? Which I had completely forgotten that this is where it occurs.
Yeah.
What's Rachel wearing?
Well, exactly, Peter. Exactly.
She's wearing the t-shirt that I wore to the Friends of Friends finale.
She's wearing your t-shirt. When I saw your t-shirt, to
anyone that doesn't know, it's the one in the lips where it says "Save the drama for your mama."
Which is this the only episode that she wears it in?
I think so. Yeah.
Why did you think of that when you thought about getting a Fwiff t-shirt, a Friends t-shirt?
That is one. I don't know why, but that in my head is one of the main Rachel looks that sticks in my head.
One of the iconic looks.
Yeah.
Is that, like,
and you know when Phoebe has that t-shirt with the little drawing of the woman with like hair?
Yes, when they're playing football.
You know, the woman with the hair.
Well, do you know who that woman is? I think we discussed this at the time, but that woman
did
is...
Did we?
Did we not?
Who is it?
The woman is Rachel's mum.
What?
As in the actor that plays Rachel's mum in a different, like, old sitcom. That's what that t-shirt is.
The little
is
cartoon?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called now. What's her name? Sandra. Ooh. This is going to be a whole deep dive.
I don't think we have discussed that. I don't remember that detail.
Really? Marlo Thomas was in That Girl. That's what it's called, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It does say that on it, doesn't it?
A sitcom called That Girl. Yeah, and that's who it is. So it's like a cheeky little sub nod, you know? Which I think is quite cute. Anyway, I haven't finished the request, sorry. Ali rounds off the request by saying, can't wait to hear what you have to say about this episode. Love, Ali and baby Eli from Wiltshire. No reaction to Wiltshire at all? Fine. Okay,
no,
fine.
But you said that as if you had a reason to react to it.
No, I was waiting for you to give me any sort of interesting tidbit on Wiltshire, but that's fine.
Wiltshire Farm Foods, tele ads about Meals on Wheels.
Done. Sold. That's what I need to hear. Would you like a synopsis, Peter?
Yes, please.
Oh, you're not going to like this production code, let me tell you that. Season 10, episode 1, the one after Joey and Rachel kiss, 176251.
Kill it, burn it.
Awful, isn't it? Rachel and Joey decide to talk to Ross about their relationship, while Ross plans to talk to Joey about his relationship with Charlie. Ross confesses his, but to Joey, but Joey chickens out. I don't think that's fair. I think Ross talks over Joey while Joey's trying to say it. Anyway, Ross later walks in on Rachel and Joey kissing. Meanwhile, Monica's ahead in the cornrows to get rid of the frizzy hair, but Chandler hates it. She finally comes around to Chandler's way of thinking when she gets her hair caught in the shower curtain. Funny that they've made the summary of that plot line longer than the Rachel, Joey, Ross, Charlie one. And Phoebe finds out that Mike has been seeing a woman named Precious for the past few months and now needs to break up with her. Phoebe waits for Mike to return from his breakup and finds herself breaking up with him, and Precious shows up at Mike's apartment. Note, originally aired as a 48-minute episode. What?
What, with Ross's fine?
Surely not.
I mean, I did notice the version on Netflix was 29 minutes.
Oh, I guess maybe that 48 minutes therefore is with ads. That's American TV, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. There you go. Where do you want to start then? Well, I think we should start in Barbados.
Well, Yes. Because
it's sort of all like, it's all sort of like one plot line before we split out into the couple's Precious and the Monica's hair. Do you know what I mean? But the first,
there's
like,
there's a couple of really different sort of style things in this.
Oh, like, do you know what I hate the most?
The Princess Leia moment callback.
I know it's a callback to like an iconic bit, but I hated the original bit.
Also, do you know one of the things that I can't remember who it is that says to who when they're kissing, but it's Joey and Rachel that are kissing, and I think Rachel says to Joey, "Oh, your lips are so soft." Oh, imagine making out with someone and then them like stopping to be like, "Your lips are so..." that would give me the ick.
Yes, done. Over before it starts. That would make the whole situation a lot easier if the other person had just gone, "Nope, sorry, not dealing with this."
Yeah. But there's that's not the only kind of little playful format thing, because there's that with the looking directly down the camera and the awful kissing faces.
Yeah.
And then there's
the hotel rooms.
The hotel rooms of the sort of panning between three different hotel rooms.
Well, which, while we're talking about it, that's my main bugbear of the episode, because have you noticed how, like, the physical impossibility of it?
Oh, hang on. How do you get into the middle room?
Right. So Chandler, Monica, and Phoebe all enter from the right-hand side of the middle room, and then they put their ears directly on the wall next to that door, which turns out would just lead to Ross's headboard.
Right.
Because there was the entrance to their room is on the other side, you know?
I know there is eventually a joke about it as well with Monica listening to Ross and Charlie, but she really should be more aware from the off that she's
I thought it showed growth of the writers and of the characters that at least someone acknowledged it for the first time in 10 years.
Well, and also, you know that bit where like Ross has been making out with Charlie and he says that he needs a minute, presumably because he's got a hard on.
Yeah.
And then he thinks of his grandmother in order to calm it down. His dead grandma. Yeah. But in the Geller family, thinking of a relative would probably make it worse based on previous history. You know?
Yeah. They have blurred boundaries when it comes to relationships and,
don't they?
And
just
sex with siblings, as it were. Ugh. But when Monica jumps off the bed to go and listen, because no one's manning the wall in inverted commas, and she ends up listening to Ross and Charlie, that was my immediate thing to be like, oh, for God's sake, why is she the one that's gone to go and listen to them? But at least Chandler does flag it and go, you know, that's your brother. And do you know what the worst thing about the reply that Monica gives is? She says, I hadn't realised until you just said it.
Yes.
That's a really poor awareness,
isn't it? She needed to be pointed out to her,
Don't forget, that's your brother you're listening to, fuck, you know? Oh, is it? Yeah, God. Yeah, you know what? It just slipped my mind. I wouldn't have even thought about that unless someone had pointed it out.
The other really brief bit that I really like, I think it's his Chandler line, is when Ross comes in and asks where Joey is, and Chandler says, just tried to gloss over the fact that they know what's going on. He's probably hanging out with his current girlfriend, Charlie.
Yes.
Like Chandler in that first couple of scenes, he's got some really good lines that just make the whole, I don't know, he's the comic relief, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. It's quite chaotic, this opening couple of scenes, isn't it? It's all in the three hotel rooms panning back forth. But yeah, you're right. Chandler does make just like quite a lot of fun jokes while Monica's being quite frantic and Phoebe just being chaotic. And I think Chandler carries it. Yeah, that's a very funny line. He's probably hanging up with his current girlfriend, Charlie. That's the situation as we understand it.
Yeah.
I would have suggested this is quite a nice hotel, but turns out structurally it was terrible. Like, the thin water is sort of a construction marvel, this hotel, because the walls are so thin one way that you can literally hear every word being said, but apparently sound doesn't travel the other way on any level. For example, Monica, Chandler and Phoebe shrieking, it's Charlie! It's Charlie and Ross! Or, you know, like, it's Joey! Joey, come over here! Like, if they can hear them that clearly the other way, surely...
Should be able to hear in reverse, yeah.
It should be going in reverse.
Just the physical nature of these whole couple... The couple of scenes that start. You've got the physical stuff of the sort of heads on the wall.
Yeah.
And then you've got the opening and closing of doors. It's like a little bottle episode, but not a full episode.
It's like a play, isn't it? You can imagine this being on stage.
Yeah, very, very stagey.
Very stagey staged. Yet it can't possibly be staged like a play. Like, they must have built these sets differently in different places because of the aforementioned door issues, you know? So it can't possibly be like that all the three sets are built alongside each other, which is not really a shame for anyone apart from the people in the live audience there. But, you know, let's spare a thought for them, Pete.
Poor guys.
I do enjoy the bit where the quick thinking of Phoebe saying we're saying goodbye to the hotel. And it's a very like classic Friends trope, this, that comes back around a few times. But when they all sort of have to pretend to say goodbye to the hotel, but then as Ross is leaving, he also says a little, his own little goodbye to the hotel.
And all the all the characters are, it feels like they're all gagging for it. Because you've got,
oh my, I know.
You've got Joey and Rachel, who are desperate to hook up.
They're so horny, they can't bear to wait to talk to Ross. They like talk themselves out of doing something that is frankly a quick job, you know?
Yeah, you've got Ross and Charlie who are doing the same.
Yeah.
You've got Phoebe and Mike are also at it when they're, some of their conversations on the plane. Where Phoebe's like, we're going to have sex, let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then even, I think Chandler and Monica have a conversation about...
Oh, yeah, they're trying to have sex regularly. Like, she talks about putting a pillowcase over her head.
Yes.
To have sex in Barbados. And then she's trying to seduce Chandler by rubbing shells in his face in a sort of wild lack of self-awareness of how sexy that should really be, a.k.a. not at all.
Like, I know going on holiday can do things to a person's libido, but even so, this feels like there's something in the water in Barbados, you know?
Well, and as Monica points out, they're all leaving with different people. So do you know what this is really?
Swingers.
One giant swingers holiday.
Yeah.
They've all gone, swung around, and then they're coming back with new partners. So maybe that's what the Friends writers wanted to do all along. Just go, can we...
Keys in a bowl.
Yeah, can we do a swinging plot line without it being explicitly about swinging? And to be fair, I think they've pulled it off.
Yeah, I think so.
As they're saying goodbye to the hotel then, in Rachel and Joey's room, well, Rachel's room, I guess, we get this scene that I really, really like, which is where Ross goes to find Rachel. And we get the whole sequence of Joey trying to be nonchalant, which is also standing with his chest out, like, no idea what that means. And then... I like the farce. Again, this feels like a play, doesn't it, on a stage? The farce of Rachel turns her back, Chandler pulls Joey through the adjoining door.
And there's a couple of lines in the script as well about Rachel, like how she really doesn't, literally doesn't know where Joey is.
Yeah. I think it's really well done. Like Ross is sort of kind of pouring his heart out to Rachel, I've got to really find him. And she's just searching the room. Like it is a proper sort of slapstick comedy play, isn't it? Although having said that, I'd say this doesn't shine a great light on Rachel and Joey because they're looking desperately for somewhere for Joey to hide and neither of them considers that the room has two doors.
Yes. Although that does feel like... isn't there a reference at one point to how they're sort of a match because of their lack of intelligence? Like, not in this episode, I think.
Yeah.
But there's a later reference to the fact that they're both... sort of both suggesting that they are a good pair because they're both a bit dim.
Yeah. There's a bit dim, though, isn't there? And then there's not recognising...
not knowing what a door is.
That a door is an escape route to a room.
Yeah. Although that does fit with Joey's intelligence based on how they've written him.
Well, we're in season 10, which is the sort of the nadir of Joey's intelligence, as well we know. So, Jennifer Aniston's desperately looking for Joey as Ross sort of tells her the story about Charlie. And then, we get back to this. Joey and Rachel decide to tell Ross, but only for about 8 seconds. And then they just get horny again. And they're just like, well, maybe we don't. Maybe we just be horny here. And then we get the weird point of view peep show kind of shots of
Ross. It is very peep show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly
also,
that, really.
Talking of peep show, do you know what weird fact I learned over the last week or so? You've seen peep show, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know Big Sue's?
Yeah, Claudia
Winkleman's hut. Yeah, what the hell?
Good, isn't it?
I saw it because I saw Claudia Winkleman talking about her sister Sophie, and I was like, that would make her Sophie Winkleman. Isn't that Big Sue's name? And it is.
It is, yeah. It's good, that, isn't it? That's a good tidbit. Good tidbit.
Anyway, I digress.
You do digress, but what are we for here, Peter, if not a digression?
Well, that's true.
Anyway, I think we've reached a natural point because basically, at this point in the episode, they leave Barbados.
They do.
They get,
but not
they
before get, Monica gets some cornrows.
Not before Monica gets some cornrows.
I tell you what, Friends has never been whiter than when Monica gleefully appears with her cornrows.
Oh, and references singing No Woman, No Cry and all that sort of stuff.
It's God. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll come on to that after this short interlude. Did they get on the plane, Pete?
All of them did. All of them did, but not where they wanted to sit.
No. No, it's weird that they're kind of all paired off. Presumably they all made a bookings together and they would have just all been sat together. But either that or they're all just sat sporadically, if it's anything like today's modern planes. But it's weird that they've all got like a partner, but they're all in random different parts of the plane, isn't it?
You also just have Charlie just sat watching Ross and Joey over Ross's shoulder while they're having their conversation.
She's not very subtle about it, is she?
She really isn't, no.
I really enjoyed the exchange between Joey and Ross, where Ross is desperately trying to find a way to tell Joey, and then Joey does the, you kissed. And
yes.
Like it's grade A schwimmering when he's like, kiss? No, what would give you that? How did you know? And then he goes, I saw you. And he goes, yeah, we kissed. And I've done it absolutely no justice there, but the actual execution of that bit is like laugh out loud funny.
Are you suggesting your comedy performance isn't that of David Schwimmer's?
No, Pia, look, I'm not saying that per se. I'm just saying it's not as good as David Schwimmer and Matt LeBlanc together, you know? I can't be both of them at once. I mean, I imagine I'm not far behind, but I think there's a reason people watch the TV show and don't just listen to me recite it. Maybe that could be the new podcast, just us acting out episodes of Friends.
We could give it a go.
Be quite fun, that, actually, wouldn't it?
You can be Ross.
But you love Ross.
I think you'd do him justice.
Yeah, I think so. It's because I'm as good as David Schwimmer as a comedy actor, is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Anyway, so Ross finally sort of gets it off his chest, although he doesn't really, does he? Because Joey has to just prompt him to do it. And then he just talks over Joey. Poor old Joey doesn't get a chance. I feel like he was really about to tell Ross in that moment.
Well, talks over Joey, but does sort of recognise all the good things that we've said about Joey as a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, do you know what? I seem to remember watching this the first time I ever saw it, years and years, we know, when it came out, thinking, oh, shut up, Ross, let him tell you. And actually watching it back now, I did actually just feel like it was a nice thing for Ross to acknowledge.
Yeah, you know? It sort of leaves Joey with a nice little warm glow as well.
As a friend. And Ross doesn't know Joey's trying to say something. And it does. It does really. It's like a lovely character reference for his pal, isn't it? Just to be like, that's so selfless. I can't believe you've sort of conceded that for me. What a nice gesture. And it is. It's a good acknowledgement of Joey's great traits as a friend, which we're constantly banging on about on this podcast, aren't we?
Absolutely.
I enjoy Ross's little cross-purposes chat with Rachel then when she thinks Ross has been told.
Yeah, although the way that they talk to each other at that point, it's like they barely know each other.
Yeah.
Like, sort of, Rachel's like, well, obviously, he's such an amazing guy. Oh, obviously, I think so.
I think so, yeah. They are like strangers talking, aren't they?
But I guess it is a very... For what the conversation Rachel thinks it is would be awkward, wouldn't it? So,
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, famously, very much not that conversation, is it? Anyway, that's sort of the end of the plane bit, isn't it? And next time we see Rachel, she's bringing Emma back to Ross's apartment wearing your T-shirt, of course.
Yes.
And then we get sort of the second bit of David Schwimmer's chaos acting. Like, this feels really like...
With the shampoo?
Yeah, with the shampoo and the moisturiser and exploding.
Although, what's the biggest impact of Ross's shampoo explosion?
What do you mean?
It's all over the Bible that he pulls out of his bag.
The Bible that he stole from the hotel room. Which, to be fair, in that exchange earlier on, when Chandler's like, I don't think you're supposed to take them, that's incorrect. You are supposed to take them.
Are you?
Yeah, those Gideon Bibles are, like, specifically put there.
For you to take.
So people are encouraged to take them. They go around regularly replacing the Bibles. Like,
have you ever taken a Bible home from a hotel?
No, I don't feel like it's very much a thing here, is it? It's a very American thing, isn't it? But like, how many times have you had a Bible in a hotel room here, really?
Do you have a copy of the Bible in your home?
No.
No. No, me neither.
I mean, I've got a Kindle, so I guess technically I've got access to one. Would that be funny if you just read it?
No, people have like got the internet, so I can read Bible verses whenever I like.
You're just imagining sitting on the tube and someone's like, oh, what are you reading? What's on your Kindle? It's like, it's the Bible.
The
mate.
Bible! Imagine seeing someone read the Bible on a on Kindle, on public really transport.
Funny about that.
There
image.
Will be someone that does it, though.
Like, yeah, absolutely. And like, if you're a vicar and you're trying to read the Bible a lot, absolutely, you know? Yeah. Be a useful way of carrying what is, frankly, quite a large book around.
A famously dense book, yes.
Yeah, dense, dense, dense. Lean, lean, lean. Where were we?
Shampoo explosion.
Ross spilled shampoo on his
bike. It's an extraordinary melodramatic reaction to the shampoo explosion, but it does feel very Ross.
It feels like this is like the character they've just invented for Ross for season 10.
Yeah.
It's a precursor to the next episode. The
yeah,
he's
warming up to be fine, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. But it's just shrieking and yelling and flailing. And it's all very, very good and very funny. But it's quite a new thing for Ross. But, you know, even now, I think, going into this final season. This is a season premiere of the final season of Friends. We've completed 9 seasons of Friends in this podcast. Isn't that mad?
Mad. It is mad.
Just a little diversion there. And then, yeah, I guess we don't really get much more of the Ross and Charlie side of things, do we? But
no, they're on hold, aren't they?
Yeah, they're on pause. But then this element of the plot line doesn't really develop until the final scene where, in a sort of deja vu moment, because I listened to our very, very, very first episode the other day in preparation for the finale, and that's one of the things we discuss. Is because that's the opening scene of the very first episode, which was the one where Ross is fine, which is the next one sequentially, isn't it?
It is. Full circle, Dave, almost.
We talk extensively about why Ross and Joey, you know, Rachel and Joey would kiss right in front of the front door of an apartment where famously people just burst in unannounced yes. at any point. And watching it now, thinking about that, not only do they start kissing, but they start kissing like behind the counter and then move in front of the door. Like they really like hone into the middle of the room, don't they?
What a good observation we had 7 years ago.
I know. It's remarkable how little the podcast has changed, really. It's just us making quite basic observations about Friends. But hey, you've stuck with us all this time, so
exactly,
jokes on
chumps.
You.
King, man.
Oh, wow. Emotional.
King of the Hill is back.
They got a Bob's in the airport now. Oh, that's boba.
World has changed, Dad.
Bobby wants to bring that new girl over for dinner.
The Vegas? What the hell am I supposed to feed her?
Can't we just put some grass in a bowl?
From Mike Judge and Greg Daniels.
Ready to make some memories, Dad?
Let's freaking go.
A Hulu original series, King of the Hill. Season premiere August 4th. Streaming on Hulu.
Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. That's why a State Farm agent is there to help you choose a coverage option that's right for you. Whether you're getting a new house, car, boat, or RV, helping protect it is important. And State Farm is there to help you choose the coverage you need, whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app. And with so many coverage options, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs, so you can continue to focus on what's most important to you. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The snack wrap is back. This episode of Giggly Squad is brought to you by McDonald's, and I'm so excited to tell you that the snack wrap featuring juicy white meat chicken, shredded lettuce, melty cheese, creamy ranch, sorry I'm drooling on the microphone right now, all wrapped in a soft tortilla, is back on the menu. They have it in ranch or spicy, a spicy pepper sauce if you're feeling frisky. Try the snack wrap that broke the internet at a McDonald's near you.
Okay, so I guess we've got to mop up the other two storylines. I think, should we start with Monica's hair? Because as far as I can tell, Monica's got big hair. Chandler takes the piss out of her. Monica gets cornrows. Chandler takes the piss out of her. Gets her echo in the shower. That's it, innit?
A lot of the references that Chandler makes when he's joking about Monica's hair, they kind of went over my head a little bit. But
He references so many people, and I think the only one.
But that's basically the same joke multiple times.
Yes, yes, yes. Just different.
Do you know what I mean?
He's just making
different references, but his pun is the same. It's you look like this person, and that's it.
I mean, like the only one I knew off by heart was off the top of my head was Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, no, I did know that one.
And then the rest of them, like Allen Iverson, who's that? A basketball player. What a weird, like, I don't think.
Presumably it's just people with cornrows.
Yeah, but I don't think Monica would necessarily know the reference of the shooting guard and point guard of the Philadelphia 76ers, would she? It doesn't feel like a reference she'd know much.
No. I'm just Googling his cornrows are much better than Monica's anyway.
Well, quite. I mean, anyone's are, aren't they?
It's true.
There's just not a world in which you would go and get that and feel happy with it, is there?
Apart from her, she's loving life.
Loving life with the cornrows. And yeah, the cornrows, like, she loves them so much, she's trying to make them sexy. Like that bit where she's dangling them in Chandler's face and he's visibly uncomfortable and, frankly, not turned on.
No, there's nothing sexy about it, is there?
No, it's they're quite a horny couple overall, aren't they, as we've discussed previously. So for Chandler not to want to have sex is pretty impressive. She's managed to make herself completely repulsive to him with two consecutive hairstyles. But she seems really committed to the cornrows, doesn't she? She's like, I'm going to wear them to work tomorrow. Like, can you think of a worse, like a less practical haircut for a chef?
Yeah, it's only when they become impractical at home that she really decides that she's done with them, isn't it?
Yeah. She literally gets them.
Apart from trying to chew her way out of them.
that is a funny visual of her trying to what's that film called? 127 Hours.
Yes.
Her way out of the shower curtain rail with her hair. Do you know what my main takeaway from this is the sheer hypocrisy and cheek of Monica getting this hairstyle with multiple shells, having castigated Chandler so heavily for wearing that small shell necklace when they get back from their honeymoon. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
He wears the shell necklace.
Why does she object to that?
Just because she thinks it looks a bit shit. And suddenly, she's fucking Shelley. Who's a famous Shelley? Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley,
not very famous Shelleys.
You could have gone for a Michelle, but you went for...
Yeah, but it's got to be Shelley, hasn't it? Name a famous Shelley, go.
Michelle Obama.
Michelle, oh, that is good, to be fair. Okay, I'll give you that. Well done. But yeah, that's sort of the real C plot of the episode, isn't it? It feels like there's like five plots and then this one is still right at the bottom of the pecking order.
Thank goodness for Mike and Phoebe.
Thank goodness for Mike and Phoebe, Peter. Should we move on to them now?
Yeah, let's do that.
I love Mike in this episode. I think he's superb. I think his dirty talk, that sequence of him trying to do dirty talk on the plane is like so perfectly encapsulates his character. Do you know what I mean? He's like, he's trying and he's sweet and he's like, you know, he's a bit Randy Pete, but he's not very sexy or sexually experienced.
It always feels very much like he's under Phoebe's wing when it comes to sort of sexual experiences.
Oh, yeah, like there's some like Dom Sub stuff going on here, right? With Phoebe and Mike. And what you might describe as the non-conventional arrangement in the heterosexual relationship. But he is. It feels like he is this like naive young puppy. And she's like basically on the way to being a dominatrix, just like throwing him around constantly. But I do enjoy that sort of the rhythmic patterns of him trying to do dirty talk, which is to start with something that's a bit shit and doesn't make any sense anyway, and then
and just double down time and time
to
again.
Explain it. Yeah. Because be careful with your overhead bins, doesn't he? That's not even good in the first place. And then he carries on with, because, you know, items might move around during. It's like, it's just, I just think the way Paul Rudd delivers them is so good, isn't it?
I do. I was trying to work out as well the sort of timeline, because Mike references that he's been with his girlfriend for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So Mike has been out of Phoebe's life for quite a while when he rocks up and wants to get married again.
Yeah, enough time to like get over her learn how to dirty talk and then start dating someone for a period of 3 months. Yeah.
Why is he taking her to dinner to break up with her?
Well, yeah, I mean, what transpires is that they've already,
had a dinner arranged, yeah.
To dinner for her birthday.
That's, do you know what, the audience reaction when she says, this is the worst birthday ever, is really good. It's the sort of appalled, oh God, sort of reaction. It's really good.
Do you know what I enjoy the most about that, her getting broken up with on her birthday, is that the actor that plays Precious also appears in How I Met Your Mother. And my... One day I'll write a dissertation on how I Met Your Mother is just basically discarded episodes of Friends or actual episodes of Friends slightly rewritten, you know? And many people have discussed this in the past, but it's sort of, when you know Friends as well as we do, and I don't, don't get me wrong, I don't mind How I Met Your Mother. I think there's some really good stuff about it. And like, it's enjoyable to watch. But every time I watch it, I do just find myself going, that's a direct line from Friends, or that's a direct storyline, you know? But she plays in How I Met Your Mother a woman that is dates Ted, Josh Radnor, and he breaks up with her on her birthday twice.
Oh, no.
So she is typecast as woman that gets dumped on her birthday.
Yeah, she really is. And also, like, you know when she's at the door, when Phoebe opens the door and Precious is there at Mike's apartment?
Yeah.
Precious refers to Phoebe as... Oh, Phoebe is in the love of Mike's life.
I know. He's really so overshared.
Yeah, that means at some point, Mike has described Phoebe to Precious as the love of his life.
Yeah, which either way is bad, right? Because if it's someone he's serious about, don't say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it's someone you're just casually dating for a few months, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like, there shouldn't have been a conversation where Mike has used the phrase love of my life about his very, very recent ex. But... he has done, and at least that does help Precious to sort of accept the situation a bit more, doesn't it?
The other line that I really love, but not quite as much as, damn it, woman, pull yourself together, have some pride for the love of God, is when Phoebe is breaking up with Precious on Mike's behalf, when she says that Mike wishes you the best of luck in all your endeavours.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It's a good scene, this. It's a good. I think it's actually quite a fun little storyline. Like, even the way that it's seeded, this storyline, I love the way Mike's lines are written when Phoebe says, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing tonight? And he's like, oh, I've got a date with my girlfriend. And it's not a joke. It's genuine. And he's only just realised it. And they have this whole sort of... I mean, I'd say Phoebe, if I'm honest, deals with that situation incredibly well. Like, here's someone who's just turned up, proposed to you, and just, like, forgotten to mention he's literally got someone he refers to as his girlfriend.
And she also brushes over the fact that in that conversation with Precious, she's like, Mike cheated on you a lot.
Yeah.
So Phoebe doesn't have an issue with being the person that was cheated with?
Well, I mean, Phoebe doesn't seem to have an issue with basically sitting there in front of another woman describing the numerous way her boyfriend is a walking red flag.
Yes.
just saying red flag.
She goes to town on him, actually, doesn't she?
Yeah, she really, like, character assassinates him. And it's all true. And yet it doesn't seem to bother her one bit. Even though if she stopped to think about it for a minute, she'd be like, God, do I want to marry this guy? The guy that treats other women like this? Because it's not great, is it, on Mike's, you know, from Mike's perspective?
Bless Mike. I think it comes from a place of heartbreaking innocence.
Yeah,
I'm willing to forgive
him.
Like,
don't get me wrong. I do enjoy Mike. And I think especially in this episode, he's excellent. I also spotted, did you spot that Mike's got a keyboard in his apartment?
No.
In the back left corner of his apartment is a keyboard on a stand, as if the writers, you know, because he plays piano, right? This is the idea that Mike's a very professional... established musician. The problem is the prop they've chosen is basically one of those like Casio keyboards from primary school.
DJ.
Dictionary. Yeah, and I just like, there's no way any like, this is, I'd say, an observation very few people will give a shit about, but it's very much in my wheelhouse. But anyone who's a serious piano player would not have that keyboard and a drum stool in front of it. Not a piano stool, Pete. A drum stool.
No.
Nobody would have that, Pete.
You'd refuse sack to the play writers. That, wouldn't you? Yeah,
absolutely. I'd be leaving. I'll be on the next train out of there. Hey, Pete.
Yes?
What's next week's episode?
That is a very good question. Well, you can... I almost said guess.
Well, I was going to say, like, if I scan through it, right, we've done Ross is Fire, we've done the Kane. I just genuinely can't remember what we've done.
So the next episodes, we've done quite a few of the next few ones in season 10.
Have we done the one where Chandler gets caught?
That's the one we're doing next week.
Is it? Yes. That would have been my guess. That's good.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't remember doing that one at all. And that's because
we haven't done it. Yes.
Oh, that's good. Season 10, episode 10. 10 to 10 to 10. And then what's only one after that, right?
Yeah, and that's the one before the last one.
What, where Estelle dies?
No, the one with Rachel's going away party.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So this next week is the last sort of non-finale type of thing. You know, like regular episode, regular celery.
There are three episodes of Friends with Friends remaining. The one with Chandler gets caught, the one with Rachel's going away party, and the last one.
Christ.
Nearly there, mate.
Nearly over, Pete.
Nearly there.
This shit is nearly over.
Yeah.
See you on Friday.
Bye.
As the main character of your life, you know how important it is to make the right choices for you and how sweet it is to feel good about your decisions. With a State Farm Personal Price Plan, you have options to help create an affordable price for you, so you can continue living your best life. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can choose to bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The Snack Wrap is back. This episode of Giggly Squad is brought to you by McDonald's, and I'm so excited to tell you that the Snack Wrap featuring juicy white meat chicken, shredded lettuce, melty cheese, creamy ranch, sorry I'm drooling on the microphone right now, all wrapped in a soft tortilla, is back on the menu. They have it in ranch or spicy, a spicy pepper sauce if you're feeling frisky. Try the Snack Wrap that broke the internet at a McDonald's near you.
Man, look at that Return of the Old King, man.
Oh, wow. Emotional.
King of the Hill is back.
They got a Bob's in the airport now. Oh, that's boba.
World has changed, Dad.
Bobby wants to bring that new girl over for dinner.
The Vegas? What the hell am I supposed to feed her?
Can't we just put some grass in a bowl?
From Mike Judge and Greg Daniels.
Ready to make some memories, Dad?
Let's freaking go.
A Hulu original series, King of the Hill. Season premiere August 4th. Streaming on Hulu.